Not much was expected of Harry Truman when he suddenly became president in 1945. He'd been put on the ticket a year earlier, strictly as a matter of inside politics. Franklin Roosevelt wanted to mend fences with the big city Democratic machines, and Harry Truman was so close to the Kansas City machine, run by Tom Pendergast, that he was often called the Senator from Pendergast. But then Roosevelt died. As Truman told some reporters a day later, "It felt like the moon, the stars, and all the planets had fallen on me." Since becoming vice president, he'd met personally with FDR only twice, and hadn't yet been briefed on the atom bomb project. On the day Roosevelt died, he paid a condolence call on Eleanor, asking whether there was anything he could do for her. She just shook her head and replied sadly, "You're the one in trouble now." Truman's presidency was indeed troubled. Right out of the box, he had to decide whether or not to drop an atomic bomb in Japan. And then later during the first term, he had to reintegrate millions of soldiers into the domestic economy, manage the Marshall Plan, which funded the rebuilding of Europe, and formulate the Truman Doctrine, which committed the United States to containing communism around the world. And if all that wasn't enough, during his second term, he had to fight the Korean War as well. Because most of these issues were highly controversial, Truman left office in 1953 with an approval rating of just 31%. But since the early 1970s, his reputation has enjoyed a remarkable revival. Much of Truman's latent appeal can be found in his apparent averageness. "If Harry Truman can be president," the line went, "so can my next-door neighbor." But as David McCullough writes, Truman was not and had never been a simple, ordinary man. The homely attributes, the Missouri wit, the genuineness of Harry Truman, however appealing, were outweighed by the larger qualities that made him a figure of world stature, a great man, and a great American president.